When Governor Shumlin voiced his support for legalizing recreational marijuana, he made a specific exception: edibles, pot infused or cooked into brownies, cookies, butters, etc. The worry is that people don't know how much marijuana they're actually consuming, and that these products are appealing to kids and the uninitiated and could be dangerous. But in Vermont, the medical marijuana dispensaries already have edible products for their customers and could offer an interesting perspective on how they know how much THC is in their products, as well as how they talk to customers about the effects. Bridget Connery is the operations manager for Champlain Valley Dispensary, which runs two dispensaries, the Champlain Valley Dispensary and Southern Vermont Wellness in Brattleboro. With a background in food management and herbalism, Connery was originally hired to develop the infused products line.
There's four different methods of consumption the way we look at it. There's inhalation, which is the cured flower and the concentrates that people either smoke or vaporize. There's the oral mucosal products that are sublingual. They're absorbed through the lining of their mouth and the tongue. There's the ingestion method, which is your traditional food and beverages, your brownies, your cookies, your energy bars, your teas. And then there's transdermal and topical. Those can be local or systemic, the transdermal ones being systemic.
Meaning what? So a transdermal, I'm thinking of like a patch.
A patch,
or something.
Yeah. It can be a patch, it can be a gel, it can be a lotion, and it goes into your bloodstream through your seven layers of skin. So it's not local. Some things are topical where it's just
affects that little patch of
skin. Yes, exactly.
Okay, and this goes throughout your bloodstream.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you first then about something like a tincture. So I'm picturing a small bottle with a medicine dropper mm-hmm. in it, and you squeeze it, and then on your tongue you put one drop or two drops or whatever you're supposed to put on. Is that what this is?
That's what that is, yes. And it can be alcohol-based. It can be glycerin-based. It could even be vinegar-based. The challenge and the goal is to create a specific dose within that bottle. So a one-ounce bottle is 30 milliliters, and you'd like to know that those 30 milliliters contain 100 milligrams of THC. So in order to do that, you need lab testing. We're not mandated by the state to actually have lab testing. So as we grew and got into a bigger product line, we realized really quickly that there was no way that we were going to be inform our patients about what our products were unless we had a lab. There is not a lab license in the state to handle cannabis. So if we want to do it, we have to do it ourselves. Vermont Patients Alliance also has a lab. We collaborate with them. So we test our product at many stages before it gets to its finished product that the patient is buying. So we're testing our raw plant material to understand what the cannabinoid content is there. We're infusing that into a fat. That's a traditional way to do it. I think that's the way that most people understand, is that you would infuse the plant material into butter or coconut oil. So you would then test the butter to see how many milligrams transferred into the fat, and then you would use that fat to medicate a batch of cookies, brownies, crackers, whatever it is that you're trying to do. So then you want to test when it's done to make sure that you have homogeneity across the batch. So there's a lot of testing there from start to finish to be able to tell somebody reliably, this cracker is going to have 20 milligrams of THC in it consistently. Now, there is about a 20% variance there that's tolerable, and that's even tolerable in other markets in the pharmaceutical industry. You don't necessarily get 100 milligrams of whatever the active ingredient is. So you might not get one that's 5 milligrams every single time. It might be a little bit over, it might be a little bit under, but we're shooting for that range that's reasonable for every product.
And do you have to test every batch or, every plant to figure out exactly what level of cannabinoids are in the plant? And then, as you said, going through those steps, or do you have a general sense of if you're using this specific strain of plant, you can anticipate based on your testing that it will have a certain amount and go forward that way?
If your cultivation facility and processes are consistent, you can have an anticipation, but you still always have to test because we're dealing with a live plant here, and you can test the same plant at many different places on the plant and you're going to get a different result because the plant distributes its cannabinoids differently through the leaves, through the flowers, depending on environmental stressors and things like that.
Wow. So every single batch of anything you're making is being tested at all those stages?
That's the goal. That's not happening right now. We're in the process of making that happen for everything that we do.
Why? If you're not required by state law and there's no consistency across the industry, why do you want to make sure you're doing that?
Because it's really important for the consumer to know what they're consuming. And because every person has their own personal experience with every product that we have. There are generalizations that you can make, but you're still going to find a lot of variance within that. And that's true for any of the methods of consumption. You can have people who take edibles and it does nothing. They feel no effect. And you can have another person take a very small amount and have a very intense effect. So the more information that you can give somebody up front for expectation of this has 5 milligrams, this has 20, this has 100. And when you get up into those higher numbers, you're really, you know, putting in your position of over-medicating. And you don't want to do that. So you want to know what you're starting out with so that you can make the best decisions to find the product that works the best for you. We advise people start at very low amounts until they understand what their tolerance is. 5 milligrams for us, that's a good starting place. And so when you start looking at some of the edibles out in the market in other states, you have edibles that are 100 to 1,000 milligrams a brownie. That's not where you want to start. And if you haven't been told about all of these things, and it's, you've got a brownie sitting in front of you, that's where the danger comes in with edibles, I think, because without having experience, without being educated, you're looking at a product that has the potential to put you in a place for a while and be uncomfortable. So I understand the hesitation that the governor has in making sure that we have all these in place before we move forward with making these products available to a broader market.
So a stick of butter would have on your label what the THC content is for the entire stick, and then somebody could break it off in whatever size they want for cooking?
We are very close to having that be the case. It's all in the works. We have the stick of butter that has the marks on them, and we have been talking to people about what our average test results are over and over again. But we haven't created the label just yet because we haven't gotten it within that range. So it will be, the hope will be that every product that we have will have that information. Right now, they're not on every label.
So how would a patient know then for a stick of butter how many milligrams are in it?
We have test results in the dispensary that we refer to, but it's not standardized yet. We're working on it. So we'll tell them that this batch, this is the expectation.
So it's a verbal thing. You
yes.
tell the patient this
yeah.
is
at the time of sale, and they get a piece of paper that lists the ingredients for whatever product it is. I mean, butter's butter. It'll say it's butter and cannabis extract, but any of the other products, they always get the ingredients before they leave and what we know about the product at that point.
In the sort of traditionally thought of edible market, so not the things that are sublingual, the tinctures that you were mentioning mm-hmm. before, but the products that you actually chew up or drink, what do you make at the dispensary?
We have a whole line of infused fats so that our customers can make their own edibles at home. So there's butter, there's coconut oil, there's ghee.
Which is clarified butter, right?
Yes. we have a bakery line of sweet and savory items, the traditional cookie and brownie that everybody thinks about. But we have crackers, we have gluten-free items, we have sugar-free items, which is important in our market because we're dealing with very ill people. In order to get on the registry, you have to have a serious illness. And so we need to have a wide range of products for people's nutritional restrictions as well. We do have lozenges and we do have a pop too.
Do you have a sense of what Governor Shumlin is saying he would ban?
That is a good question that we would like to ask. Is it anything that you put in your mouth that you might ingest? Because obviously the oral mucosal and the ingestibles, they could both be considered edibles, even though we separate them. I think that a tincture is a good example of a oral mucosal. It's something that we find in the medical market works really well for people because it's so titratable. You're working drop by drop. You can really manage your dose if you know the milligram content of the active ingredient that you're dealing with, in most cases THC. So I'm not sure if those are going to be banned or if we're just talking about the food and beverage items. So that's a question we'd like to have clarification on.
How carefully do you advise patients about what amount of a product, let's say a cookie, how do you advise them to know what amount of the cookie to take at the beginning at least?
Well, we always advise people to go low and slow. And with any product, even though we create our items small to begin with, we don't like to oversize because I think there's always going to be the temptation to eat the whole thing. So we start small, and we always tell people to start with a quarter, just to start, and wait at least 2 hours before you consume anymore. The ingestible products, what happens when you do get them into your system is that the THC actually gets transformed within your liver and becomes a more powerful chemical. And it's more intense and it's longer. It tends to be a 6 to 8 hour duration time. So once you are having your experience, you have it for a while. And that's what's actually good about an edible, too, is because once you understand which products work for you and what your dose is, having a product like that where you know you're going to get a 6 to 8 hour window of relief for your symptoms is super important. I mean, 15% of our sales on average are edible products, and people use them in combination with other methods of consumption.
Most of your patients are getting their marijuana through other sources and other applications then?
Yes. We expect that number to grow, you know, and that number has grown as we've added more products to our line. When you look at other more developed markets in the country, consumable products, ingestibles make up about 40% of the market. And I imagine that that's where we're headed because more and more people actually don't want to smoke. They want a different option. And that 15 to 18% that I'm talking about includes tinctures, too. So it's not just the food products.
Do you think if the state of Vermont goes to recreational marijuana, legalizes recreational marijuana, that it's wise to ban, in whatever definition they use, the edible products at the beginning? Or do you think there's room for that as well?
Well, what I can say about that is that we agree with the governor that this should be a phased-in, step-by-step approach that's really looked at thoroughly before we put products on the market that are not lab tested, for instance. And right now, the ability to do that is limited. If they do choose to add edible products, we have the ability, Vermont Patients Alliance, they have the ability to test those products, but there's no other lab in the state that can right now. So I think that that's a challenge in itself. You know, if we're going to put these products out, how are we going to make sure that they're tested across the board and that we know that if the label says it has 40 milligrams, that it has 40 milligrams. And ideally, you want more than one lab testing that too. You want third-party verification. So I think that's the biggest challenge.
So if it is legalized in the state, you would advocate for pretty strict rules on how these products are labeled for consumers?
Definitely. You definitely should have the ingredients on there, storage guidelines for consumption, and definitely the milligram content of the different cannabinoids that are the active ingredients.
That's Bridget Conry. She's the operations manager for the Champlain Valley Medical Marijuana Dispensary.